Hello and welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And happy 2020.
Happy New Year.
Well, we're super excited about what this year is going to bring for us. Judging by how things have gone, it'll bring us 3 podcasts in the next year.
Oh my gosh. We're all set up. Just so you know, we don't have the time that we used to have to get together, all 3 of us at the same time to podcast. So it's really put a damper on some of our podcasts. And it's kind of frustrating because this is one of the parts of our job we really enjoy.
Yeah.
I guess it's not a job. This is what we do on the extra.
Jobs you get paid for.
Right, exactly. We don't get paid for this. But no. Last week, we're all set up. The microphone's set up. We're all set up. We're getting ready to take our kids out to recess. And what happens? An emergency drill right in the middle of our podcast.
Yeah.
So we had to like scrap the whole deal. And so now we had to go a whole nother week. And I know it frustrates Eric because he's really organized and he's got everything ready to go.
Only organized in this one area.
This is the only area he's organized, yeah. But as you look around his classroom, he's not organized at all, but this he's organized on. So
That's right. Well, we got some messages. We got a voice message. And the sender here, I'm totally going to forget her. Oh, Kaylin Bullock. That's right. Kaylin Bullock. She sent us a voice memo and she also had a question. I don't know if it was her had a question about emojis or somebody else. But either way, we can answer both of them right now. So someone asked about, they use Chromebooks and can you do emojis with Chromebooks and Seesaw? And the answer is yes. There's a YouTube tutorial, and I will also share a tutorial on our YouTube page and Facebook page. So if you have Chromebooks, there are ways that you can get emojis. I know there's extensions with emojis and things like that. So if you're enjoying using emojis or you listened to that last podcast and want to try it, you can even do it with Chromebooks. All right, so without further delay, let's listen to Kaylin's message for us.
Hi, Teachers Talking Tech. My name is Kaylin Bullock, and I'm an instructional technology coach in the Metro Detroit area. And I met Eric Robinson this summer when he was at one of our PDs. And I wanted to ask about the emojis. I love what you mentioned about how to use it. And I know in Seesaw, there's many activities that involve emojis, but I'm wondering what's the best way to give kids access to the emojis if they're not working on iPads. My assumption is if they're working on iPads, they can get to that emoji keyboard very easily. But if they're working on Chromebooks, what's the best way to get them to those emojis? And I also wanted to mention in the Edu Protocols book by John Crippo and Marlena Hebern, they have a great activity called the Emoji Power Paragraph. And you use a website, if you Google random emoji generator, you can get there and basically you click a button and one emoji comes up and students start writing a paragraph. And then shortly after you put up the second emoji and they have to write a sentence, you know, that connects to that emoji. And so there ends up being 5 emojis and they have to make it work into a cohesive paragraph. And if you have them do it in Socrative, then they can see each other's paragraphs really easily. And then maybe you can choose one where they can revise it or change it up to work on a certain skill that you're learning about. So that's another really fun way to introduce emojis. And then finally, I just want to add, I had mentioned to Eric that I was thinking of starting a podcast with my former student who's now, well, he's just finishing up his student teaching and we have just gotten started. We're on episode 5 and it's called Bell Ringers and it's a teaching podcast. So we'd appreciate it if you're looking for a new podcast to check out that you'd give us a listen. Thanks.
Oh, it was her who asked about the emojis. That's so funny. It's been a while, and I know I was like, man, I remember somebody's asking about emojis. It was part of that call. That's right. So again, I'll give those directions. Thank you for the awesome ideas, Kaylin, and check out our podcast. Listen, we listen to tons of great podcasts. I know some of the ones I listen to have to do with education. Other ones I just listen to for fun or that kind of thing. But all right, so again, if you want to call into the show, which isn't actually calling in, but
it's fun.
It is fun, isn't it? But all you have to do is just record a message using any voice memo app and then send it to Teachers Talking Tech, and we'll be happy to put you on the podcast.
At Gmail?
Oh, yes, teacherstalkingtech@gmail.com. Thank you, Marie. All right, now on to what we're going to talk to you about today. So the idea with this was to try to get a school-wide technology plan, almost like an outline or a, goal. I don't know, what would you call it? Like a
mission statement.
Mission statement,
exactly,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So not something that's like, that has to say like, 5 minutes of technology shall be used. It doesn't need to be like the Ten Commandments, but rather something that just kind of keeps your school on course.
Well, it's something that you intentionally thought about, and that if people ask, there is a message from, there's a consistent message from everybody.
Well, yeah, and that's the first thing is the why. Like, why do you need a mission statement for your building that has like some generalities about how you use tech and what you believe in? And here's the first thing I can think of is, that parents come in, and we have a lot more parents, I don't know, in our district, I don't know about our listeners, but that are saying, how do you use technology? I'm concerned about screen time. Mm-hmm. And then all you can really tell them is like, well, it depends on what teacher you have, right?
That's the truth, too.
Or we're all using them for different things.
Which is fine. You want to give some people some autonomy, but...
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely are all using them in our building at different capacities. Like, some people are using them a lot more, a little bit, and using them less or whatever, and so...
Yeah,
there's no consistency there.
Yeah, and I think, too, part of the problem here that we're facing at this point in time is that the kind of shiny new technology of 2010, 2012, that luster has worn off a bit.
Well, and everyone has a device, right? Everyone has a device at home, mostly. Right. Kids are using devices at home more than they were.
Well, I remember when we first got iPads, it was like, we can use these for everything. Let's go paperless. Let's just, everything now is about technology. And then we have realized, obviously, over time, that there are some pitfalls that come with technology, right? So it's time that we need to start looking in this way, into where we need to have a plan. We can't just say like, whatever, it's technology. We all use it now, and whatever they tell us, we just do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? This is the next part I would say, too, is that in your school and in your district, leadership is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Most teachers teach from, either they quit after 2 years, which is, that's a pretty popular route right now, or they could stay for 30 years. And in that time, you're going to probably have a different principal or two or three or
different
four or five
superintendents.
Different superintendents, and they're all going to have different goals and visions, right? But if you have a kind of a technology mission statement, they come into your building, they know how you use technology and how you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Then if they want to change things, there's actually a system in place.
Yeah.
If there's nothing in place, that's just a vacuum for them to fill, and they can say whatever they want to kind of rearrange how you use technology. Here's the next thing. We should be constantly questioning technology at this point, right?
This comes from Teachers Talking Tech, right?
Right,
this podcast was born out of using technology in our classrooms, but we know that there has to be a balance and there has to be a good reason why you're using it, not just to use it.
Right.
And so what Eric says is you have to be constantly questioning, how are you using it? Why are you using it? Well, is this the best way to use it?
Is this still working?
We've been working
with them for like 10 years now, different things with devices.
Yep.
Things change. And
since you were like 8 years old, Marie.
Since I was just like a wee baby.
Mm-hmm.
Marie's not that young, but compared to Mike and I, the old codgers.
Yeah.
Not that young.
Grumpy.
That's right. But I think that it's just, you have to really be mindful. In the same way when you're planning, you plan for differentiated instruction, right? You're thinking about your lower kids, your higher kids, and everybody in between, special needs. You also need to be really mindful when you're planning for technology. I think that one of the disturbing trends that I see as I go around to different districts, as I talk to different teachers, is that a lot of technology is being used for test prep. And we've talked about this before. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but... if it is the sole purpose for technology in your building is for drill and kill or for, just instructional,
if you're using it for test prep to then use it to take a test,
right?
That's not the best use of your technology. It might be a use for your technology, but don't put them on the shelf then the other 3 months, 6 months, 7 months of the year, and only put them out for those 2 weeks of testing.
Right, because there's so many other ways it can be used.
Oh, my gosh, so
for
many
creativity.
Amazing ways.
Exactly, and that's the big thing. We'll get into that in the creativity in a minute. But the other thing is, if you're trying to stick maybe to an hour a day max of screen time, like we are, like K2, we try to be mindful about not overexposing them. And I think if you automatically say, well, 30 minutes a day has to be with this app, it's district mandated that they practice with this, you have used so much of your time allotted on that, where that eats into the creativity and the other things. The other thing that troubles me with this is that the fact that, you know, artificial intelligence, and I'm not trying to sound like an alarmist here, but if we... robots will now take over your job.
Warning.
Okay, let's think about the number one threat to the kids that we now teach, to their job and their security, right? It is artificial intelligence for most of them. I think that I read a stat that something like more than 40% of the jobs that are out there right now for these kids are going to be heavily impacted by artificial intelligence
and
computers,
right? That's why our jobs are to be teaching those soft skills, those social-emotional skills, and creativity skills, because those are the skills that robots can't take from us.
Exactly. And that's what this article said. It said if you are prepping your kids for things that robots can do better, right? Think about math skills, right? A lot of the math skills we're doing with kids are like, you are going to solve it faster. You are going to do more of the memorization of math facts. However, robots can do that better, more efficiently, everything, right? So if we are creating little robots to grow into big robots, they are going
to
lose to the
lose
real
their
robots.
Jobs to real robots.
So that this is the point of like, well, then where does technology fit? And this is where it fits, is into that creativity, right? Using it in ways.
Collaboration,
teamwork. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it works so well for that. Even in one-on-one environments, when you plan your technology to really push those soft skills, kids working together on a project, and kids creating things that have not been created before. So the opposite of a worksheet that you created, but they are creating that
as
content.
A form of expression. We've talked in other podcasts too about how iPads and different apps and things offer the opportunity for students to express their knowledge in so many different ways, and that choice piece is cool.
You know, I think about when I talk to my friends that are not in education and the jobs that they're doing, how many of them have the opportunity to work remotely is amazing. That would have never been available, you know, even 15 years ago. You never heard of people working from home. But now...
And now it's all our dreams.
It is all of our dreams. But so many of my friends do that. My father-in-law does it. They don't even have to go into the office. And they're collaborating, like you said, with people across the country.
Yeah.
In other countries, in other time zones. And they're able to get their job done efficiently.
Yeah.
Using technology. And that's the kind of job, that's the kind of way we need to use our technology to prepare people for those kinds of things and other jobs that, and doing jobs, not just doing jobs that don't exist, but doing them in a different way than they've always been done before.
Right. Mm-hmm. Setting those social foundations with technology and how the communication piece can work.
Big time. So let's get into how you would do this. So the way I would build, personally, a school tech plan or whatever you want to call it, would be I would think about three guiding questions. How much technology, when, and why? Mm-hmm. All right, so if we go through each of these, how much technology? So depending on the age of your kids, you know, you could look up and ask pediatricians or look up guidelines for screen time. I think one thing I really noticed when I overuse tech is my kids' behaviors changed. Now, we teach young kids, second grade, but I think any adult that has kids or teaches knows that look, right? That look when you say, like, oh, we're doing X, and you see, like, the serotonin in their brains, like, and I, all of a sudden they're like, ah! Mm-hmm. It's a difference than if you said, hey, get out your pencils, right? And too much screen time also seems to make kids moody. There's a lot of things.
Right.
So
it might also be worth, even as a school, sending out a parent survey about technology usage at home, just to get kind of a gauge of...
Yeah, because if parents on average are using it for 2 hours a night, you need to think about that at school. If I'm using it for another two or three, that's a lot for these kids.
Yeah.
And you're not going to convince parents to use it less. That's just not going to happen. So you just need to be mindful of it.
Right.
And I think that there's not a wrong answer here. I think that as long as you're thinking about how much and you have a goal, remember, this is not a law. You're setting this up as a kind of a target, right? So our target, like I know my target, is I want to stick in our class to about 45 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Now, usually it's a little closer to an hour. Sometimes it's under, but I like to stick to that 45-minute guideline.
But I think what's important, like in my classroom, if I thought about how often we're on our devices, we're using our technology, it's maybe an hour, mm-hmm. but it's not an hour straight.
No,
it's in short bursts.
Chunks,
and when it's in short bursts, I almost think of it as not even being on the the device, because they're using it to do a quick job, a quick check-in, a quick whatever, whether it's a book snap at the end of Reader's Workshop that takes 4 or 5 minutes, or it's publishing a poem that they just wrote or whatever. They're not on it for an hour straight, plugged in, mind on the device, completely oblivious to everything going on around.
Well, yes. And you framed it as a way, as this is how you're sharing your work,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
right.
You've been really intentional about framing it that way.
Yeah. Well, in how much too? You could say, hey, we have a tech-free day. We have a day we don't do any tech or whatever. I mean, I do that with my son at home, where we say, hey, this is a, you know, no screen day, and it's not a punishment. It's just a day we need with no screens for the family, right? So the next one is when. I think this is really important, because I think that I know, and I'm just going to throw myself under the bus here, and I'm sure our listeners are kind of like, I've done this as well. Hey, I'm going to check my email. I need to think of a 10-minute activity for my kids so I can catch up, right?
Right.
It's easiest to say,
we've all done that.
You know, do whatever, get out your iPads and do this, because there's not a prep for it, right? Mm-hmm. It's already prepped for you. Indoor recess, that's something we need to think about at lower L when it's raining and we can't go outside. Should kids be using a device in place of play, right?
Right.
And there's not, again, a right answer, but I think you need to talk through this with your staff.
Mm-hmm.
You need to talk to people, because I know in our building we have some people that when there's free choice, they let their kids use iPads for that.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that when we have indoor recess, they say, yeah, go ahead. It's free choice. Do whatever you want on your iPad. I think you really need as a staff to decide, is that healthy for kids? Because you can make the argument both ways depending on how you are using it during that time. And then the last one is the big one. Why? Why are you using technology, and what is the purpose in your building?
Mm-hmm.
There's some resources that can help you, because this is a hard one to convince others of when you say the why in our building should be creative, collaborative, whatever.
Sharing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are resources. One is a simple one, the SAMR, which is this SAMR.
Mm-hmm.
Google it. And there are,
we've talked about it, I think.
Yeah, we have. And SAMR is just basically a visual representation of how tech can be transformative, or it can just be repetitive of what you're already doing, right? There's also the EEE framework. So the EEE framework, we, a while ago, interviewed Dr. Liz Kolb. She developed this. But there's actually an evaluative tool.
Ooh.
Right on that website, where you can put in scores for each app or technology use. And then at the end, it will tell you on a scale of, like, you know, one to whatever, how well that app does at soft skills, all those things, or is it just a repetitive app that could have been done with paper and pencil,
right?
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great way to convince a principal or a staff, like, hey, these are experts, this is how they're saying that we should be using technology. So I think in closing, I think really it's a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't need to be done by leadership in your district as far as your admin. I think this needs to come organically from the teachers in your building.
And be revisited. Like we said, tech evolves, and this is something that shouldn't be thought about once and set in stone. It should be something that you are consistently checking back in with. Does our model that we've come up with still match the values we have towards tech?
Right. Yeah, and I think principals would love this. If I was a principal, I would want this in place. So if a parent comes to me and says, you know, I'm concerned about iPads, or I'm concerned about how you're using Chromebooks, or whatever it is, you can say, here's our mission at our school.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a spot to start from with them,
right,
to have a discussion. You know, well, again, thank you for listening today. We appreciate all of you out there who listen to Teachers Talking Tech. Thank you to Kalen Bullock for sending us that voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, come on. We have two jobs for you. Send in a voice message to us, and also please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen, because that really helps get the word out there about Teachers Talking Tech. All right, thanks for listening today. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
See ya.